Grace and peace to you from Harvester Reformational Church in Milnerton, Cape Town, the mother city of South Africa. Founding Apostle Andre and Prophet Nola Pelser have reached almost 100 nations to date, fulfilling the Great Command to love and the Great Commission to go into all the world, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and making disciples of Jesus Christ. May God confirm the preaching of His word with signs and wonders following in your life. For free sermon notes, visit www.harvesterchurch.net and click on the Sermons tab. Search for the topics you need and keep spreading the word. Remember that some of these teachings are also available on DVD from Pelser Media, so contact Apostle Aja Pelser at ajepelser@gmail.com for more information. Now, here is Apostle Aja Pelser.
Just a message on doctrine and heresy today. I feel, you know, working through Peter, there was a lot of good teachings there. And one of them covers heretical lifestyles. You know, it's not just the Jehovah's Witnesses that we're fighting, okay? I don't fight Jehovah's Witnesses. I tell them to get off my property. But they know that they don't knock on my door. I made it very clear to them one day. In no uncertain terms, I went Aja on them and I just told them exactly what I thought. Because they're not there to come and learn from me, you know. They want to come and disrupt. And our house is a house of prayer. And our house is a house of worship. And our house is a beacon of light in our neighborhood. Our house is a place where we make disciples every week, where people come to be free. It's the Jehovah's Witnesses may not step on my property, I told them. You know what I told them? They come stand there, you know, and they've got their white shirts and they've got cricket hats now. They've got clever. And I said to them, you get off my property. Don't want you here, you false teachers. I'm a Christian. I'm an apostle of the faith. I tell them who I am and they said, you're not welcome here. I'll call the police if you don't leave my property in 5 seconds. It's a bit drastic, eh, Lenny? Yeah, you don't have to do it exactly like that. You're welcome to sit with them for hours and hours and hours. Can I talk to you about the Bible?
Bring them in the Bible.
When I do street witnessing, you know who bothers me the most? The Jehovah's Witnesses. It's like, get out of my zone, man. You guys copied us going 2x2. Now I have to go 3x3 so people don't suspect me of being a JW. But I, you know, God bless them. We've worked with some JWs in business and church work and stuff. And you love them. But they're going to cause you problems and they don't want to learn from you. So Jesus is the Son of God, buddy. He's not a prophet. Jesus is God. There's in the first chapter of Genesis, Elohim is the plural form of God. So your Jehovah that you're talking about was also Jesus, was also the Holy Spirit, three in one. And that's there you know if you're going to carry on talking or not. Amen? So don't waste your time with people that don't want to hear you. Rather spend your energies making disciples. Jesus says, go into the world and argue with Jehovah's Witnesses. Go into all the world and learn about all the cults and errors and investigate them and spend time with them and sit with them and try all their different drinks and potions and rituals and see if it works. No, he said, go into all the world and make disciples. Ah. So I'm going to give you some keys to unlock some of these heresies or to get people free from heresies. I'm going to give you some truths from scriptures regarding doctrine to counter the heresies. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to highlight it for you because there's quite a lot of pages there. I know, you get this wiki bio, man. It's the keys. So I'm going to put this on the interweb. I'm going to put it on the line. And you can go and get it there, okay? HarvesterChurch.net. So I'll just summarize. So basically, from Peter, okay? So we're in Peter chapter 2 there where he starts talking about these things. 2 Peter 2. Yeah. Let's maybe read a bit and then I'll summarize. It's been wonderful working through the epistles of Peter. You can also do it there. Is it two? No, it's not two. That's one Peter. I see. Destructive doctrines. So 2 Peter 2. There were false prophets among the people, even as there will also be false teachers among you. They will secretly bring in destructive heresies, denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. And then it carries on, and so on. We can read all of them, I suppose. Maybe carry on, read that whole chapter when you have time. Let's carry on verse 12. These, like natural brute beasts, are caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they don't understand. They will perish in their own corruption. They will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. It's heretical for people to feast with saints if their lives are out of order. Did you know that? That people come and they feast with you as if everything's fine, and then you find out it's not. So that is a spot in your feast. The good news is, Jesus' blood can wash out any spot. It's the vanish in the spiritual realm. You must choose to deliver yourself from heretical thinking and heretical living so that you don't blemish Jesus' feasts. When we come together and we feast here, and when we feast at the camp, the NBC camp, when we go to the summit and we feast together, and people come there and they try and get that same festivity with you, but things are not right in their lives. They blemish it. They defile it. And we don't want that. And we don't want them out either. We want them cleaned. Like we all do. We've all had spots and blemishes, right? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we're justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You can only get redemption if you allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse you. That's it. And it's better to be honest. I was speaking to Abby this morning about the business world and so on, and she said, you know, honesty actually works. Truth sets you free. When you're busy with people and you're testing spirits, right? Sometimes it takes a long time to get to the truth. Hey, Mom, when you're doing counseling. And people sometimes come with masks and they put up these masks, you know? And you think you're dealing with a spiritual giant for the first 5 minutes. Oh no, God has been saying this to me, and God has been saying, but you know, the house is a mess. Their family's a mess. Their life is in ruins and tatters. But God's really, you know, God's blessing me, and I'm really, really, you know. So it takes a while to take that mask off. Sometimes it's stuck. They're so heretical in their thinking and in their deception that they've put on a face religious mask that everybody falls for it except true spiritual people. Think, you know, can we please get to the point? Because that speeds up the process, man. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Heretical behavior cannot stand in his presence. That must bow. And you choose. You either repent or you get sent. Amen. So when you finally get to that person that says, this is who I am, this is what I'm struggling with, the religious spirit works very closely with heresy. They like to hang out in church. People bring that secretly, cleverly, cunningly. I can get away with this here, they think. And that's a lie. You can't get away with sin. You die in your sin. Jesus said that. It's heretical to think any other way. Stop sinning. Jesus said to the lady caught in adultery, go and sin no more. Amen. Where's the man caught in adultery, or did the lady do adultery by herself? He must also go and sin no more. I'm sure he had a lot to think about, that guy.
were his buddies covering him. See, that's also heretical. Pointing the finger at someone else when you're covering this one, you know, deal with it. I learned that in deliverance, you know, quickly when we had a fire come through our church in 1996, we were prophesying about a fire of God starting in Cape Town and going through Africa. And you know where the fire starts? In your heart. It's not a glory cloud with fire that comes in like the Israelites in the wilderness. That's not the fire you must look for. The true fire comes inside and it cleanses things. Start in the pastor's house. We burnt things. We repented. We all went for deliverance. How much do you want to be free? Stop putting a stigma on getting free. Oh, I can go for deliverance. One of our young people said, when they went for I'm going for deliverance. I like that. That's better. That's a better way of talking it than, I'm going for deliverance. Oh, gaan hom maar alweer for deliverance. Did you have deliverance gekry? Ja, ek het 2 deliveries gekry. Did you sign for your delivery? Yeah, ja, sign for my delivery. I'm going for deliverance. Because you're getting free. Take the whole... How was Friday night? Was it good? You have some people there? You trained a lot of people on Friday. We can do some more training. But I asked Prophet Nala to train some of our counselors in the church that want to help people. And I thank those who went. I was with the youth on Friday night and working with some kids there. So nice to see a new army of deliverers.
Yes, very great.
You can all do it. It's the most wonderful thing to see someone get free. Once, when you see that, it's the biggest high you can get. To see someone get free from something they've been struggling with their whole lives. You see you can actually see it physically. They go like, it's like they've seen the light and smell the roses again, and they can hear the birds and, I see trees of green, red roses too, I see them bloom for me and you. It's like life is beautiful all of a sudden, right? How many of you felt that when you got set free the first? Okay, so heresies keep people bound in things, and they keep them in a little persona that they're not. It's a fake persona, because a heresy is a deception. Let me read for you what a heresy is in a nutshell. Okay? Heresies is the act of taking or capturing something, storming a city. When the devil comes with a heresy, he's trying to storm your city that you rely on. He's trying to break down your defenses with a heretical teaching, something that's wrong. Okay? It's a choice that you make. People choose to give themselves a license to sin, saying it's okay. It's not okay. The wages of sin is death. A thought conceived brings forth sin. Sin conceived brings forth death. If there's death in people's life, what do you look for? Sin. This is how the word discerns things. I don't know what it is. It's just, everything's just drying up and dying and relationships and this and there and there. Look for the root, the sin. Yeah. And then look for the thinking. And normally in the thinking, there's a mistaken identity and a lack of awareness that they are children of God. They're new creatures. They don't have to behave like this anymore. Can you see? That unlocks them from the heresy. Sadducees, so on. Heresies, dissensions arising from diverse opinions and aims. Okay. So to combat heresies, we're going to use apostolic doctrine. Okay. Apostolic is apostolos, is Greek. Is a Greek. Apostolos, Arisaflakis. And it means a delegate, an ambassador of the gospel, officially a commissioner of Christ. So apostolic doctrine, doctrine means instruction, learning, teaching. So to summarize what apostolic doctrine can do versus heresy, just give me a moment and I'll share it with you. I'll read it out for you. The function and instruction that sets the doctrinal teaching and learning processes in order. That's what doctrine is. The function and instruction that sets doctrinal teaching and learning processes in order. Function and instruction sets the doctrinal teaching and learning processes in order in people's lives, induced by a delegate and ambassador of Jesus Christ. Doctrine is instruction, right? And function. But an ambassador of Jesus Christ brings that into someone's life. With miraculous powers sent to eradicate heresy and establish truth. So I'll read it for you again. The function and instruction that sets the doctrinal teaching and learning processes in order, induced by a delegate and ambassador of Jesus Christ, with miraculous powers sent to eradicate heresy and establish truth. We know that truth is a person. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So when people say, what is truth? Always aim through the cross and you'll be accurate. That helps you. When you speak about heresy and heretical things, you know, the world is moving towards a one world order where all religions are accepted and everything goes, all roads lead to Rome sort of thing, and people can believe what they want as long as it's some higher power, even if it's themselves. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous, and they also, you know, must believe in some sort of higher power, whatever that be for you. Not all higher powers are going to help you, brother. But I appreciate what they're trying to do for people, you know. But Jesus is the answer, huh? So that apostolic doctrine will combat heresy. So three keys for unlocking the chains of heresy. Identify the false. See what they say about Christ. And look at their fruit. False. What's false here? False teachings, false lifestyles, liars, false prophets. We've seen false apostles. Yeah. Anything false, you can see. Identified by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then see what they say about Jesus. And this is one key that you can use also in deliverance and counseling. When you are dealing with an evil spirit, you can ask them, do you confess that Jesus comes in the flesh? 1 John 4 verse 2 and 3. The demon was coming out. We pray for people in our Bible school. Then one day, we were in Mill Park Center there, and the students called me and said, oh, we're busy casting out a demon here, and like behind the auditorium there. And the demon says, we don't know the Bible enough. We're new students. I'm not coming out. You don't know the Bible enough. And they thought, yeah, we don't. We've only been here for 3 months. So they ran to the office and they called Dad and me and a couple of the leaders and said, come help us. This demon says we don't know the Bible enough. And they fell for it because they went into the arena of reason instead of staying in the arena of the Spirit and using Jesus' name. But this, at least they were having a go, right? So I didn't chide them or anything, and I just, you know, had a giggle, and then I went. And then we went to go and pray with them, and we said to the demon, they only need to know one word from the Bible, and that's Jesus. And then they cast him out. You see? One word's enough. The devil can quote scripture too, you know. And this is what you need to watch out for. So when a demon starts getting religious on you, he'll quote all the scriptures he knows out of context for the wrong reasons, the devil quoted the scripture to Jesus in the wilderness, man. Doesn't the Bible say? He's been around long enough to read. But just say, devil, the same scripture that you're quoting says that in the name of Jesus, we'll cast out devils. So, have you read that one? Yeah, I have. Here I go. Okay. Out. He has to listen to that. So just keep quoting the scriptures back to him because he knows what happens at the end. He loses. So you have read the Bible. Ah, yeah. Okay, well, the Bible also says that you... that if we submit to God and resist the devil, he must flee from it. So you must flee now, devil. In Jesus' name. Did you read that part?
Yes, I did. Now go.
He's defeated. Amen. So you start from that point of departure when you're dealing with heresies. You must have that authority in mind. You don't need to know more than those people. They'll come with fancy arguments and this and that. And so, well, let's talk about Jesus. Do you believe he's the Son of God? Do you believe in the virgin birth that God miraculously let him be born of, in the flesh? That he came and walked amongst us? That the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us? Do you believe that? Do you believe that if I receive him, I have the right to become a child of God? This is so simple. Do you confess that Jesus came in the flesh? No, I can't confess that. You say, well, yeah, know what I'm dealing with here. Amen. So instead of learning, it's like, instead of trying to find out all the fake notes that you can find, rather study the true and you'll be able to discern the fake. You don't get a fake $11 bill, you know. They only try and copy the true. Now, there's a lot of fake Christians around, eh? Yes, but they copied some true ones and they made a bad job of it. If there are fake believers in fake churches, there must be some true ones. Why do you know a true note? The old bank tellers used to count. They didn't have these machines from the gangsters, you know. Sometimes I think the banks are the biggest gangsters. But anyway, that's another story. But they count the money like that. The old tellers used to count and feel the money. And they could feel a fake note. John writes, he says, the things we've handled, experienced, seen, heard and saw concerning the word of life, this I write to you. So to be true, to combat heresy, you can say to people, I've handled God, God's handled my life. I've handled the word and it's worked. Show me what's worked from your religion. I said to Ethan this week, the reason I'm saved, the reason I'm in the ministry is because God healed me as a boy when I was 3 years old. I had tonsillitis every year of my life. I struggled. I had fever. My parents eventually threw all the medicines and things away. And they started praying with me at night when I had fever bouts. And one night the fever broke and I never had tonsillitis again. And then I understood what it meant. By his stripes, you are healed. So that's my first love with God. God can heal me. And then I went telling all my buddies and went to children's church and prayed for everybody. That's the first thing. So, when the devil challenges you on a new phase of your life, go back to that first contact you had with God, that first love. Dig into it and say, hang on, God actually helped me there. That same God is here to help me now. It's a different situation, but there's my first love of God. It might be different for everybody. It might be setting you free from addiction. It might be breaking you free of bad relationships or your past or things like that. But that first love, God is restoring. And if you go into that moment, it's a killer nova, bro. It's a killer nova moment. It kills the heresy and it provides for you. It's beautiful, man. I got a new word for the week. It's fantastic, you know. But isn't it interesting that those stars are remnants of death? The death of big stars and what's remaining, and then they collide and then there's gold. Sometimes you have to go through some death. It's natural. Don't be scared of death. Don't deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow. If you lose your life for me, you will find it. Death must happen. It's part of the universe. But it releases great blessing if you see it. And it brings about new worlds and new galaxies of opportunities if you can see it. I meditate on the stars. You see, we're a 5-star church now. Did you see? Hallelujah. Last week I was playing drums and I looked back and I thought, only 4 stars. That's wrong. So I just moved the curtains a little bit that way. In the army, you say, do you want to sleep in a 5-star hotel? Ja, kubra, 5-star hotel. Right, you 3. You can go sleep in the 5-star hotel there, outside there in that, you can look at the stars there. The rest of you in the bunks. So when people are operating in heresy, they are in hot pursuit of the flesh. Number one, what to please number one. That's heretical lifestyles. When you're living for other people and helping other people and God's work and so on, you can't focus on yourself. It's a very good antidote to heresy to be part of a church where you can function and give of yourself. It's wonderful to see people functioning. Get the unction to function. To get instruction against heresy. Amen. There's a sphere of passionate desire that defiles you. And in this sphere, people disdain authority. They are presumptuous. Now, I've looked up presumptuous because it's a big English word. It's also not in the Free State Dictionary. Or maybe it is. I don't know. It means of a person or their behavior, failing to observe the limits of what is permitted or appropriate. So God tells you what's appropriate in your Christian walk. When you ignore that, you're heretical. How's that, eh? Okay, sorry, Lord, I repent. That's all you need to do. Change me. Remember? Deliverance. I repent. Don't make such a big deal of repentance. Make it a lifestyle. Make it your new operating system. It's like artificial intelligence for your spirit, repentance. Every time you make a mistake and you repent, you learn to not do it again. And, you know, you can do that and repent to the Lord and be convicted in your heart. And if you ignore it, God will give you opportunity, then you get rebuked. If you ignore a rebuke, God will use the furnace of affliction of circumstances and life to teach you. But He still loves you. Isn't that fun to know that? God, I don't want the furnace of affliction. Just accept the gentle nudges of the Holy Spirit on your daily walk, saying, hey, get out of this heretical thinking, lifestyle, behavior, depraved, defiled nature. Stop living for the flesh and be led by the Spirit. You'll be sons of God. Listen to that inner voice. Adhere to it. Make the changes. Ask people to pray for you. It's not such a big deal. We're all dealing with it in different levels. This is the thing. God is working on all of us. So there's grace while this happens. But you need to identify that it's heretical. Amen? And let the fire of God come and burn you clean. Amen? You see, in their act of destruction, they are destroyed. Eventually, the destroyer comes in and God allows him in to destroy the person. And that's the extreme level of heresy, where they've rejected God so much that God allows them to be destroyed so that they cannot destroy themselves anymore. And maybe even then, He'll save them. And Jude talks about that. Hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Some save with fear, it says. Some people, they don't listen to you. 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 They're stubborn. They're stubborn. They don't repent. They don't change. You've done everything. You've fasted and prayed. You prayed fast. You've loved them. You've given tough love. And then this and then that. And eventually you see how the Lord saves them with fear. And they come back to the Lord. When I was on my deathbed, God spoke to me. God speaks on deathbeds. It's His deathbed voice. I couldn't hear the other voices. Only the deathbed voice. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed. God only speaks in ICU, does He? Yeah. Remove the moral blemishes and the disgraceful blots, reveling in their deceitful cravings while they feast with you, as if nothing's wrong. Having eyes full of an adulteress, unable to cease from sin, catching unstable souls with bait, having hearts that are completely exercised in covetousness, children of a curse, abandoning the straight road, they go astray. They follow the way of Balaam, placed a high value on the hire of unrighteousness. Rebuked for his lawlessness by an inarticulate beast of burden, a donkey speaking in a man's voice, restraining the insanity of the false prophet. If God, if you don't listen to me, God will get a donkey to rebuke you, to restrain your insanity. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to say amen. It's just nice words. Or maybe it's true. They are mist driven by a tempest, always stormy, never having peace. Sound familiar? Yeah, you go pray for those friends of yours that you're thinking of now, eh? Yes. For whom the blackness of darkness has been reserved. Utter extravagant things, they are, yeah. Yeah, they utter extravagant things and fancy words to describe and to give himself license to sin, but it's futile. They are luring by means of the cravings of the flesh, wanton acts ordering their behavior in the sphere of error, promising liberty or fake freedom, but actually becoming slaves of corruption. Dogs returning to their own vomit, a sow to its mud. If a person is overcome by something like this, they are enslaved to that. And our job is to get people free from that. See? Well, there's lots of scriptures, but I think you get the message. It's good to see, you know. And maybe if you've overcome some things, there's some friends of yours, this will give you perspective how to help them out of it, to unlock that heretical way of thinking, to show them there's another way. Amen. Thank the Lord he wrote about these things. But can you see it's the same problem since the beginning of time? It's nothing new. God has made provision for what we're dealing with in this age. Our kids, they face a lot of things. They're just exposed to it earlier, I think, with the media and so on. But you can overcome it. Amen. Jesus talks about doctrine. And Paul writes to Timothy about doctrine. Yeah. Our doctrine is not ours, but him who sent us. In Acts, they strictly commanded disciples not to fill Jerusalem with their doctrine. That's a really good accusation, isn't it? You filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Okay, great. Now we can go to the other cities and do that there. When they saw what was done by the apostles, they were astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Acts 13:12. You see, the Old Testament uses the word doctrine more than the New Testament. In the New Testament, they substitute it with message. But this is a problem because in the church world today, people don't talk about doctrine. They feel church doctrine divides. Whereas it's not church doctrine we're talking about. We're talking about the doctrine of the New Testament. So doctrine has been defiled as a term, and then people avoid it, and then they get stuck in heresies. Can you see the plan of the enemy? So he don't talk about doctrine. Has anybody ever said that to you? Don't talk about doctrine. Because their new translations take doctrine out so that everybody can say what everybody wants to say instead of saying, what does the Bible say about it? And it's very simple. If you look at all these scriptures, I'll post them on the internet for you. You'll have a look at all those things there. Apostle Andre's got a book coming out called Dogma, which is the fancy word for doctrine. Okay, a set of beliefs and principle of beliefs from the New Testament, from the New Covenant. And I believe that book will set some standards and bring people back to the Bible. We need doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship and prayers. Don't avoid doctrine. In fact, doctrine might unlock that heresies that people are stuck in. And it's going to end in their destruction if you don't help them. It'll be on you. That's why we must share. So when you share doctrine to people, say, man, I'm not preaching Harvester to you, okay? Let's go to the Bible. Open up the Bible. Show them. God, help us to share doctrine with people. To unlock them from the enemy that's taken them captive to do his will. That's given them half Christianity. That's keeping them bound while there's so much more for them. Amen? And it becomes so beautiful. When you see people receive and they start drinking it in like water, you know. They start, give me more, give me more. Then you can make a disciple of them. But until the point that they realize they're in heresy, it's very hard to teach them something. So you got to do a bit of spiritual warfare. You got to contact God on behalf of people before you contact people on behalf of God. And you got to see, God, give me discernment so that I know exactly what I'm dealing with here. And those three keys there. Is it the flesh? What is it? Something false? Huh? What false is there? What deception is there? Holy Spirit, show me the exact deception that I'm dealing with. Go straight for that. Don't go, ooh, fluffy, fluffy. Go straight for that thing. Because if you bind that lie, you can plunder the goods of the enemy in their life from there. But become sharp. Get in the Word. Stay in the Word. Live a consecrated life. Repent of things. Fast and pray now and then. Pray fast now and then. Just go for it. Close some doors in your life so that God can use you to help other people. You see, it becomes more about others now than just about you and your goody two-shoes. Amen? And some tissues as well. Yeah. Okay, so that's enough. It's easy. It's easy to see fruit. Just open your eyes. Open your eyes. People don't have peace, joy, and righteousness in their lives. It's easy to see that they're in the kingdom of darkness. When people are in the kingdom of light, there's peace that passes their understanding in spite of what they're going through. There's joy in believing. There's righteousness by faith. They believe God. You can see God's doing something in their life. You can see the force of righteousness starting to go into every area of their life. They're not perfect, but you can see that there's righteousness there. But if they're in the kingdom of darkness, you'll pick it up. Then you need to start using these keys and unlocking them, getting them free, and using the sword and cutting them free. Not fighting the person, but the heretical spirit that's keeping them bound. Amen? We can do this. Get ready. You're going to have some conversations in the next few weeks, I believe, people. God's going to give you an opening. Take the gap like a good center and go and score for the Lord. Amen? Take them with you. Thank you, Lord, that you are removing deceptions right now as we speak. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be scared of any heretical teachings, or we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, or our battle is against powers and principalities, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We thank you that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, displaces any principality in this area. We also speak for Paro here, where the word is going out today. We thank you, Lord, that people will be set free of heresies here. Establish more Bible cells, Lord, where we can teach people your word, where they can learn to hear from God with an open Bible for themselves without getting tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Lord, I pray for the fivefold ministry to be accepted in this country on a new level so that people will be strong, they'll be equipped to do the work of the ministry, so they can grow into the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. Not being tossed here and there by everything, every new idea that's coming through the internet and through the winds. Lord, I pray that people will be built into Christ in Jesus' name. Let us focus on Jesus and we'll overcome these things. The doctrine of Jesus and his apostles. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's being released in the earth right now. And Lord, all these heresies that you said will come in the last days, we can overcome it in Jesus' name.